The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. Welcome especially to everybody here in the building, but welcome also to everybody who is joining us at home, or perhaps even in hospital or nursing homes, or wherever you're joining us from. We're delighted to have you with us as we worship together this morning. Also want to say a special word of welcome today to Joe and Sadie Miller, who are joining us from Newton Ards. And earlier in the week, on Thursday, they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. Very special landmark indeed. And they are joining us today to celebrate that landmark. They were married here in this church 60 years ago. Last Thursday, and they were just telling me that the rose window was just completed the day before their wedding. So very special to have you with us, with your family this morning. And we also want to send special greetings to Joe's sister Dorothy in Towel House. If she is tuning in today, we send her our best love and greetings this morning too. Also delighted today to welcome our new curate, the Reverend Andy Hay, for his first Sunday as curate assistant here. He's no stranger to us. He's done a placement with us, but we're delighted to have Andy with us this morning. And we know that you'll be made very welcome as you come among us with your family. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking, continuing our thoughts about climate change, which we started to think about last Sunday. And throughout the autumn, we're going to be thinking about climate change using some videos. And also today, we're thinking about the topic, are we a blessing to those around us? Those are the themes that are running through our service today. Also wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course has just got underway. It's a course to explore the meaning of life. And if anybody would like to take part, you're very welcome to join. All the details will be on the notice slide. That's on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. On Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. And next Sunday, our services at 11 and 7 will be the services of Holy Communion. Next Sunday also, we are involved in a collection through the Bishop's Appeal for earthquake relief in Haiti. And if anybody wishes to be part of that, there are some envelopes at the back of the church which the wardens can give you. But as we worship together this morning, we're going to stand for our opening hymn as we sing, make way for Christ the King.
Thank you.
service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for today is a psalm that speaks about the importance of trusting in the Lord. And we're going to say this section of the psalm together as we stand together to say Psalm 119, verses 73 to 80. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in very faithfulness you caused me to be troubled. Let your faithful love be my comfort, according to your promise to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be put to shame, for they wrong me with lies, but I will meditate on your commandments. Let those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be sound in your statutes, that I may not be put to shame. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our Old Testament reading.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Exodus, Chapter 18, starting at verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing, he said, "What is this you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while these people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decree and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come out to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws, and show them the way to live and the duties that they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God and trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we're going to respond to that reading as we sing a hymn about longing after God, as the deer pants for the water. If you'd like to be seated for our New Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Our psalm today came from the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's a psalm that really encourages us always to reflect on God's word and to allow God's word to impact our lives. So we're going to see a very short video now encouraging us to do just that. So as we think about the impact of God's word upon our lives, we've also been thinking over the last number of weeks about climate change and how our actions can have an impact on the whole planet. And so we're going to see a second little video now about climate change.
How is climate change affecting the developing world where organisations like Tear Fund work?
The reason why we care about a change in climate is not because a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 degree increase in the average temperature of the entire planet really matters that much to any one of us. It's because that temperature increase, like the first domino in a row of dominoes, kicks off a series of interconnected impacts and events that affect all of us around the world, but affect the poorest and most vulnerable more than any. The single best description I've heard of climate change was coined by the US military, if you can believe it, and it's this: climate change is a threat multiplier. In other words, it takes all of the other issues that we already care about, all of the issues, for example, that are exemplified by the Sustainable Development Goals, issues of poverty, hunger, lack of education, basic healthcare resources, it takes these issues and it makes them worse. Another way to think about it is with this image of a bucket with a hole in it. We're pouring all of our efforts into this bucket to alleviate poverty, hunger, disease, lack of access to clean water, refugee crises, and more. Yet that bucket has a hole, and the hole is getting bigger and bigger over time, and there is no way to fill the bucket if we do not patch the hole. The hole is climate change. I care about climate change specifically because it does affect the poorest and most vulnerable in the world. It's no accident that there is a direct correlation between people who are already living in poverty and people who are most vulnerable. Because how climate change affects us is by loading the weather dice against us. In the places where we live, we know that we've always had heavy rainfall, floods, heat waves, hurricanes, droughts, storms, wildfire, and more. These are a normal and natural part of life on this planet. But the warmer it gets, the more frequent or the stronger and more damaging these events are getting. We know that the frequency of heavy precipitation is increasing. We know that heat waves are getting more extreme. We know that droughts are getting stronger. We know that wildfires are burning greater area. We know that cyclones, hurricanes, or typhoons, all the same storm, they're just called different names in different parts of the world. We know that they're not getting more frequent, but they're getting much bigger, stronger, slower, more powerful, with a lot more rainfall associated with them. And then there's the long-term changes, like creeping sea level. With two-thirds of the world's biggest cities, many of those in developing countries, lying within just a meter of sea level. So why does climate change matter? It matters precisely because it disproportionately affects the poorest and most vulnerable in the world. If we have a flood in a rich country, it can be devastating. It can produce very expensive damages. But if they have a flood in a developing country, as occurred, for example, 2.5 years ago in Bangladesh during the monsoon season, where due to the abnormally heavy rains, a third of the entire country was underwater, the impacts can be beyond belief. Where I live, in Texas, we experienced a massive record-breaking drought in 2011 and 2012. Where we live is, climatologically speaking, very similar to Syria. And in Syria, they also experienced a drought that's estimated to be 2 to 3 times more likely as a result of a changing climate. But that drought was occurring on top of an unstable political system, on top of poverty, on top of ongoing conflict, a pre-existing internal refugee crisis, all of which led climate change and its impact on the drought to be like the final straw on the camel's back. You can have a healthy camel that doesn't have much on it, it can absorb that extra straw. But if you have a camel that is malnourished, underfed, in poor health, already overloaded, that's when climate change can truly be the final straw that breaks the camel's back. Another example, and this is the exact same event this time, was Hurricane Matthew. Hurricane Matthew hit the Carolinas in the United States in October 2016. It produced billions of dollars worth of damage, and it led to the loss of 28 lives. Now, those are very serious impacts, but before it hit the coast of the United States, it hit Haiti, which is the poorest country in all of Central and North America. In Haiti, the headlines look like this: we've lost everything. In Haiti, they already had cholera. And the epic flooding that resulted from the hurricane exacerbated the cholera epidemic. In some places, up to 90% of people lost their homes. All across the world, since the 1960s, it's estimated that the economic gap between the richest and poorest countries has already increased by 25% due to the impacts of a changing climate. And this past year, the United Nations warned that climate change threatens to undo the last 50 years of development, global health, and poverty reduction. We care about climate change because it is a threat multiplier. Climate change is not only an environmental issue. Climate change is a poverty issue. It's a hunger issue. It's an issue of inequality and injustice. Climate change is a human issue. And that's why we care.
So as we continue to reflect on these important things, we're going to stand now to affirm our faith in the God who believes in us, as we share together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, a prayer in which we are encouraged to remain close to Jesus in our lives. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we prepare in our hearts and lives to receive God's word, we're going to sing together our next hymn, inviting God to speak, Lord, in the stillness.
Please be seated. Heavenly Father, you are the God who speaks. Help us to listen. Help those who are at home watching online or however it is, whatever moments they have to share in this service, or for those people here, speak to us, open our ears so we can hear your words. Amen. Words, 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 and more words, wherever you go. That's all there is, words. Written down, thought, shouted out, whispered, owned or denied, it's all words. Over the next 11 minutes or so, and I promise-ish, 11 minutes or so, I'm going to speak around 1,600 of these words, would you believe? And when you go home or you switch off your iPad or whatever it is you're doing, and when you talk about how ridiculous and pointless those words were, you'll be using words. Words everywhere. But words are among the most powerful tools in our kit. The words we choose can build others up. They can embrace others. They can empower. They can strengthen them and grow them. And our words, at the same time, can cut and bruise. Our words can forge a dark valley for other peoples to live in. Our words can even kill. James, the writer of today's reading, calls these two ways of using words blessing and curses. So blessings and curses. And James wrote that only the most perfect of people has complete control over their words. Now, I'm not a perfect person. And if anyone here is a perfect person, give us a wee wave. Okay, right. So James has got something to say to all of us today. Today's a traditionally important day, I understand, in St. Finian's calendar, Covenant Sunday. And my understanding is that traditionally this would mark the beginning of a new year in the parish's life, when organizations would think about the year to come, think about their plans and what they were going to do. Now, COVID has changed and is going to continue to change the things that we do in church. However, this Sunday is still a good opportunity for us to look ahead and think about how we plan to walk together, how we plan to walk with God. And it's a good day to ask ourselves, will we, and the words that we use and choose to say, will they be blessings or will they be a curse? The very idea of a blessing and a curse is actually quite old-fashioned. It's quite religious. The word blessing comes up a lot in the Bible, though, and overall it seems to mean... I was distracted there. I saw myself on the screen. Overall, it seems the word blessing seems to mean giving of goodness, happiness, the idea that we would have more than enough, security. And if you're a blessing to somebody, you are sharing these gifts of God with people. You know when you hear a toddler laugh and you can't help but laugh yourself, the toddler laughing is infectious. And the idea of blessing is that maybe God's own happiness, his joy, his self-assurance is just as infectious. We all know about being infectious nowadays. We know about taking space, washing your hands, covering up your face. Well, in a non-COVID way, I believe God wants us to be infectious, spreading his blessing, his joy and love wherever we go. And a huge way we can do this is in the way we speak, build up, encourage, the way we bless. Now, nowadays, when you hear the word curse, we tend to think of bad language, using colorful language or swearing. My Aunt May has a parrot, and the parrot used to swear all the time. And whatever Aunt May did, the parrot would comment on it, but in a mean way, and it really got to Aunt May. So she took the parrot to the vet, and she said to the vet, I've had enough. This parrot won't stop cursing. I want you to listen to the parrot for a few moments and then tell me what to do. And the vet stood and looked at the parrot and listened to the parrot while the parrot cursed him up and down. Everything he did, his office, what he was wearing, it was awful. And the vet said, the vet wiped a few tears from his eye and then said, I want you to take the parrot home. And as soon as you get home, if the parrot starts cursing, I want you to put him in the freezer, count to 10, then take him out again. And so my Aunt May took the parrot home. Sure enough, as soon as she walked in the front door with the parrot started cursing again, calling my Aunt May all sorts of things. And so she said, right. And she put the parrot in the freezer and counted to 10. When she got to 10, she pulled the parrot out again, and the parrot said, I'm so sorry, I am absolutely never going to swear again. Forgive me, I will never do anything wrong again. By the way, what did the chicken do? I love that. I love that. I don't have an Aunt May. So the idea of cursing, that's what we think of that. In the Bible, cursing tends to be a wee bit different. It's the idea of asking God to deny something to somebody, or even worse, asking God to turn his back on somebody. There were a couple of Jesus' friends called James and John, and they were a pair that seemed to really love the idea of an old-school religious curse. James and John were very hot-headed. We all have people like them in our families. They're the ones that you think, will we invite them to Christmas? Will we not invite them to Christmas? Do you remember what happened last time? Do you remember the way they upset the parrot and Aunt May? Well, James and John were there with Jesus, and they were wanting to walk through a town, but the people of that town wouldn't let them. They didn't want them there. And so the brothers asked Jesus if they should have heavenly fire sent down to just utterly destroy that town. Like a curse, a heavenly curse. They wanted to call one down on that town, and Jesus told them off, and they just moved on. Now, I don't think folks try to call down heavenly fire that much nowadays. I don't think many of us say in our prayers, Dear God, Janet from HR is continuing to withhold my pay. Will you please smite Janet? However, at the core of James and John's request seems to be a need for revenge or retribution. And I don't think any of us are above that. Maybe we wouldn't be sorry if Janet from HR got her comeuppance. And in our dealing with Janet, we withhold love. We withhold our joy. And we are a barrier to the blessings that she should be receiving from God. Poor Janet. James, and by the way, the James who wrote today's passage is not one of the James and John brothers. James, who wrote today's reading, wants us to recognize, I think, that it is so often our words that are the difference between allowing the love and blessing of God to go out into the community or blocking it. The tiny tongue that sits in our mouth speaks words that have the most enormous consequences. Just like a huge ship directed by a tiny rudder, like a whole forest can be burned down by a tiny match, blessings and curses, words. So, what do we do? One option is to always speak as if God is listening. You know, sometime around October or even earlier, parents start bringing out the Santa card. They say, Santa's listening. You'll be on the naughty list. And kids are always reminded, Santa's listening. One option is to speak as if God is listening and only say things that we know he will approve of. Now, I don't think this is a completely crazy idea. I mean, sometimes we forget that God is always there. We treat him like a heavenly Alexa that sits in the corner and only perks up when we say his name. To wake an Amazon Alexa, other smart speakers exist, but to wake an Alexa, you just say the name, Alexa, and it wakes up. But until you do that, it sits quietly doing nothing inside of the room. And I bet there are some people watching online that have an Alexa in the room. Alexa, Play some relaxing jazz. Alexa, mute YouTube. I wonder if that will work. Dear God, I'm having a hard day. Dear God, please help me deal with Janet from HR. It's vital that we have these moments when we specifically focus on our words on God, but it's also good to remember that God is not a lifeless thing that just sits in the corner waiting for us to say his name. He's with us. He's witness to every conversation, all the things we say, our blessings and our curses. However, to always try and speak as if God is listening is exhausting. We always have to be on. We always have to be thinking, right, what am I going to say next? How am I going to stay off the naughty list? James offers a suggestion, which is also a reminder of who we actually are at heart as a church, as a people. James speaks about the source of our words being the heart. He said, you don't get fresh water and salty water from the same source. An apple tree can't give you oranges, and you can't get a kebab from Mods. Who we are in our hearts is the way we will speak. Who we are deep inside will be the source of our words. And a few verses later, James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. Instead of calling for heavenly fire on the world, he says, call for heavenly wisdom for our hearts. This will not make us suddenly perfect, but it will mean that God will grow our hearts, the source of our words, to become more like his heart. Our prayer this Covenant Sunday could be, Heavenly Father, as we go into a new year, grow our hearts to be more like yours and help us to speak kindly. Grow our hearts to be more like yours and help us to speak in love. Grow our hearts more like yours and help us to speak your justice. Grow our hearts more like yours and help us to be a blessing to those around us, to infect the community with your joy and your security. Our words have huge consequences, and we've all been called by God to speak in a way which shares his love with the community. This is something that I know for a fact that St. Finian's does and will continue to do. But let's make it our prayer this coming year that God will grow our hearts so that we can more and more be a blessing and share his blessings with the people around us. By the way, if you have a parrot, never put it in the freezer, even if it is a potty mouth. If you are home and your Alexa was affected by today's talk, there's a helpline at the end of the service. And if your name is Janet and you work for HR, I'm very sorry, it was just random. Let's finish by gathering our thoughts. We'll have a time of prayer, we'll move into our prayers, and then we'll close our prayers just before the Lord's Prayer by praying for ourselves and asking God to grow our hearts to be more like his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of meeting here with you and with one another. Hear us as we bring some of the thoughts and concerns from the world around us, both far away and on our doorstep, to your ears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The world is still in the grips of a pandemic. On the one hand, many countries are beginning to ease restrictions, and people are happily looking forward to a return to normal. On the other hand, as the cooler weather approaches here in the West, numbers of infections may be on the rise again. And in other parts of the world, the notion of a vaccine is no more than a vain hope. We are in the grip of a pandemic, but we are still in your hands. Please be merciful and come alongside the sick and the hopeless, their families and their leaders, and may your loving will be done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for Afghanistan. The situation is complex, even by Northern Irish standards, and people are living in fear of their lives daily. Heavenly Father, your Son taught that real power was service. Real power is not lording over one another, but loving. Bring your standards of mercy to that country and all countries. May the least of us be protected and loved in the way that you would want. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Heavenly Father, more locally, we think of the border that lies to our south and the border that lies to our east. These borders are and have been so contentious. Teach us and our leaders that the hill we choose to make a stand on should be the one that our Lord Jesus gave his life on. Teach us that a secure way of life is to be found in the resurrected life of our Savior. Bring your wisdom to bear in this country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the members of our community around us, the ones we want to be a blessing to. We pray for the ones who need us most, the lonely, the ignored, the sick, the dying, those with little or no energy for anything. These are your children, and forgive us for not going out of our way to find and serve them. Grow us as a church to be more like you. Help us to speak kindly from our hearts and grow our hearts to match yours. Help us to speak love from your heart and grow our hearts to match yours. Help us to speak justice from your heart and grow our hearts to match yours. Make our hearts a source of blessings for those around us. Allow us to infect the community with your joy. We offer these prayers to you, knowing and believing that you hear us, and knowing and believing that you are a good God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's draw our prayers together with the words of that prayer that our rescuer, Jesus, taught us. Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Our next hymn is a prayer that echoes those words as we enter this new year of church life, as we sing and we pray together for a closer walk with God. So thank you very much to everybody who has joined us this morning, whether here or at home. And as we prepare to go into this new week and we take those words to heart about being a blessing rather than a curse, we bow our heads for God's blessing in our lives. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Our closing hymn today reminds us of our purpose to live lives to God's glory every day in all we do and say. So we sing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done."